Hello and welcome to the Almost Functional Podcast. My name is Jack.
My name is Phoebe.
I'm Joseph.
I'm Ivana.
And I'm Sam. So we're live from the Brand Center. I just want to get to know you guys a little bit better. So I'm 26. I'm a copywriter. I'm really enjoying the Brand Center so far, and I definitely picked the right section.
I'm 30. I don't know why I couldn't think of my age for a second. and I'm a strategist, and I like it. Like, I definitely feel like I'm where I should be, for sure.
I'm 22. I'm a copywriter, and I'm definitely in the right concentration.
I'm 23. I'm a CBM. Figuring it out still a little bit about what the concentration is, but I am enjoying it so far.
Yeah, I'm also 23. I'm an art director, and I really like it, but I'm also terrified every day that I'm going to be exposed as a fraud. So, yeah.
Same.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Very valid. Recently, I read this survey that was done by LinkedIn that 25 to 33-year-olds, the data shows that 75% of them have experienced a quarter-life crisis. And out of those people, over 50% stated that they felt unsure what to do next in their career, or they're frustrated about their career options. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, yeah, I feel like I kind of understand that a little bit. I'm personally in a little bit of a weird place where I'm kind of balancing, like, trying to do school and, like, make this career happen, but also, like, make a passion of mine happen. Like, I'm a musician as well. Sam, you were at one of my shows last night.
Yeah,
thank you for
coming.
Really
good.
Thank you. And it's just two things that are really time-consuming. And, you know, obviously one of them is pretty unrealistic. That could be a career. And the other one is a lot more realistic. But it's just kind of a weird balance of, you know, the thing I love and the thing that I think I can maybe make some money off of. And, you know, trying to find time for both. And it's definitely been a little bit of a personal crisis for me, for sure.
Yeah, I can speak to that, too. I'm working and going to grad school, which has been rough. I work kind of in a format that's not very, like, suitable for doing grad school at the same time. I'm, like, in the food industry, which is difficult to balance, and I feel like I'm doing a career right now that isn't my goal. I obviously appreciate the work that I'm doing, but it's not really aligning as well with what I want to do, and I'm trying to make money and do school at the same time. It's like having two full-time jobs, so I'm having a little bit of a quarter-life crisis. I definitely feel like I'm feeling that pressure right now.
Yeah, I agree. I also wanted to go off of what Jack was saying, where, like,
oh, there's, you know, ads.
No money in the budget for the ad no. YouTube,
if anyone wants to sponsor this podcast so that we don't have to do the ads anymore, let me know. We'll get YouTube Premium for the next one. Go on, sorry.
But yeah, I wanted to say, like, how Jack, you're also trying to get this music career going in addition to the advertising, and obviously it's harder to break into the music industry than it is to you know, get a job in advertising. I can also speak to that a little bit because I did creative writing as a minor in my undergraduate, and I was really into writing fiction. I love writing stories. Being, like, an author for books and, you know, writing movies, TV shows, that's one of my dreams, but obviously that's a lot harder to break into. Yeah. That industry is a lot harder to break into, and it's a lot, the chances of me being able to make a living off that are really low, so that's why coming to Brand Center was something where I feel like it's a little bit more tangible, a little bit more easier to reach, you know, getting a degree here and then, you know, going to an agency to do copywriting. I feel like that's something that would be cool as well.
Are you still writing in your free time?
Yeah, I try to write as often as I can. It's kind of hard, though. You know, I have a bunch of work to do with Brand Center, and then I get home at night, and I don't really want to, like, do more writing, but I try to write as much as I can. I definitely do a lot of reading because I feel like, you know, the more I put into my brain, the more I can output. So I like to read a lot. I do a lot of reading in my free time, and I also try to write. I'm trying to write this story right now, and I'm kind of in the beginning of it, which is, like, the hardest part because it's, like, a blank canvas and you're, like, starting something from your thoughts. So, you know, I'm doing as much as I can.
Yeah. All right. Well, quick tangent though. Just cause you were talking about writing TV and stuff. I had a professor in undergrad who was talking about, like a copywriter at maybe it was the Martin Agency, I'm not certain, that did the caveman ads for Geico.
Genius.
Yeah, they made a TV show out of it like years ago. That it failed, but like they brought him on as like a writer for the TV show, and he was, you know, he's a copywriter or something, and he became a writer for this TV show, and then, you know, fast forward, he was like one of the writers on Modern Family or something like that. So like I think there's definitely like that path, like, you know, being a copywriter or like being like a writer on a TV show, like it's not unheard of that you could, you know, go from one to the other. Like I feel like there's, you know,
I definitely feel like copywriting is like cross training for writing, you know, and there's so much you can do, especially nowadays, like in TV spots, they're always dumb as fuck, like they're super goofy, and I feel like that would be really fun to do. Yeah. So, you know, hopefully I can get there.
It's essentially like writing a skit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
You can do it.
I'm gonna go first. All right, so I actually want to bring up another survey that was done by OnRec. They interviewed over 1,000 people, and only 2% of those people said they had no career regrets. Number 5 on that list was not quitting a job I disliked sooner. So I did recently go through like this pretty big career change. I used to work in finance with all the lovely finance bros, even though I've pretty much hated Excel and numbers for like my entire life. I've always wanted to be a writer, but I was always told it's not a tangible career. I won't make any money. I'll be miserable in the long run. But like ever since I was a kid, I remember writing on those big computers from back then. Kids now have never seen them, but you guys know, like the big computers with the big back. And and I used to write all my Twilight fan fiction there and read my Justin Bieber fan fictions.
Were you Team Edward or Team Jacob?
Team Edward.
Okay.
100%.
No, you're right.
Does anyone ever say Team Jacob?
I've never.
I was Team Jacob back in the
really?
Day.
Whoa.
No. Edward, are you kidding?
When he imprinted on Renesmee, the child. Child.
I'm talking before that. That was weird. That was weird.
But no, yeah, everybody always told me there's no money in writing, but like, I was miserable for 4 years of my life just trying to make money. And I think like having this big career change, yeah, I'm suffering a little bit because I'm like noticing I'm not as good of a writer as I thought compared to my peers. But I think I'm pretty happy with the decision I made.
It's still the beginning.
Yeah.
So.
You know, I noticed that too when I got here, like in undergrad. I was in advertising undergrad, and you didn't really have to try that hard to be, like, top of the class. Like, if you put in any amount of extra effort, it was like, boom, whatever you're doing is, like, better than most people. But here, it's like you come here, and you kick ass, and, like, everybody's doing work as good as you. And it's kind of, like, a little shocking. But it's also...
I love that part.
I also really like it. It's cool that everyone here, like, really cares about being here and really cares about the craft that they're doing. It's awesome to be surrounded by that.
Yeah. What didn't you like about finance?
Honestly, I've just never liked numbers. I've never liked doing research. I've never liked doing surveys. And honestly, like, it's a pretty boring job. You just sit in an office all day, and Excel is staring at you, and you're just plugging in numbers. And honestly, I will say it's a pretty sexist field to be in. I had a coworker with the same exact title, and actually, I used to get paid more than him. But because he was the male, everybody resulted to going to him for work, even though I knew everything that's better, crazy. Which was shown in the fact that I was being paid more.
Mm. That sucks.
What's the culture like in finance? Because you kind of always hear like, oh, like the finance bro, like sort of archetype. Is that real in your experience?
100%. It's also like very black and white. I was recently writing a script for something that I'm doing outside of Brand Center. And, like, when I was going through the script, I realized, like, my mind is still in finance. Like, there was no, like, creativity behind this script. It was very black and white, very boring to the point. And I was like, as a creative, I need to, like, get out of that boring mindset that I have from 4 years. So I was going through it, and I was like, I need to make this more like a storytelling because that's what I want to do with my life as opposed to just straight to the point.
Yeah. Well, I had a pretty big career change, too. Yeah, I was a lawyer. Actually, still am a lawyer. I kind of do it part-time. Oh, yeah, because I work during school. But, yeah, I went to law school, like, 10 years ago. I kind of, like, always thought that I was going to be a lawyer. Like, I did, like, internships and undergrad and stuff, like, for law. But I was thinking, like, once I get my law degree, I could do, like, a bunch of other things with it. So I wasn't thinking, like, oh, I want to be a lawyer. I was thinking, like, if I want to be a journalist, this will be good, like, whatever I want to be, it'll be fine. And then I feel like when I got to law school, everyone was, like, intense about being a lawyer. And I felt like I, like, had to, like...
naturally at law school. You know,
but no one wanted to do anything else. Like, I don't know. But you see other people, like, in fields, and they're, like, politicians and they're lawyers. They're journalists and they're lawyers. Yeah, so I was, like, thinking... businessmen are lawyers. I was thinking, like, it would be more, like, lucrative in other fields, but... I don't know. It was just, like, miserable. It's so competitive. It takes over your life. So, like, if you're miserable in it, you're miserable all the time. And, yeah, I just didn't feel like it was right for me. And, like, now that I'm here at the Brand Center, I know that I'm, like, in the right place. Like, I actually feel like I belong here, and, like, I have no regrets coming here. Also, I was worried, like, when I came here and liked it, that I would think, like, wow, I should have came here 10 years ago. Like, what took me so long? But honestly, being here, like, I feel like I'm here at the right time. And, like, my experience in law, like, has really, like, it's going to help me here. And, like, I don't know.
I mean, the life experience is, like, valuable to have. Yeah. I'm, like, a firm believer in, like, everything's going to happen at the right time that it's supposed to happen. So just because you didn't come, like, right after, like, who's to say you wouldn't have come here if you came 10 years ago or something? You wouldn't have been, like, having a bad time. And I also was wondering, like, with your creativity, how did you find, like, how have you been getting back into your creativity? Because it sounds like law school was kind of, like, putting, like, a stop to that in some ways.
Yeah, it took over my life, but I kind of was always doing, like, little side projects, like, here and there when I could. So I, like, would always do film projects or, like, graphic design projects. So I, like, knew there was other things, but I never felt like I was, like, really good at the creative projects. I felt like it was, like, people just, I was the person that they just knew who did it. And then it honestly took me finding out about the Brand Center to realize, like, there was strategy is the perfect in-between from, like, law to, like, creativity that I feel like I'm good at. Like, I picked the right thing. Like, I'm not good at, like, making things, but I could think about things.
Yeah. Were you, like, in court doing cases?
Oh, my God, in the beginning.
Dude,
but,
hell yeah.
No, in the beginning. But doing client-facing.
What type of law?
I did, like, family.
Oh, that sounds really stressful.
Oh, my gosh. Like, it custody? Is brutal. Heck no, because I already knew I couldn't do that.
Did you ever have a case with, like, a twist ending? Like, some witness comes out of the blue, like, on, like, in a movie, and you're like, he is innocent. And then there's, like, this whole thing. Does that happen? Yeah. Does that happen in
you
real life?
You don't get that type, like, 10 years in. You would get that later in, where you would have, like, twins.
You gotta work your way up to the thing.
Yeah. So you get, like, the paint-by-numbers ones early on, and then, like, the interesting ones that might have a twist you get later.
Well, I mean, think, do you want, like, a brand-new lawyer with their life in your hands and there's all these twists and you can pull out the witnesses?
I mean, like, I think if I'm a brand-new lawyer, I want that for myself.
Yes, you do. But then justify that to your clients.
Yeah, true, I guess.
Yeah. I did have one where I went on a giant goose chase. Like, this woman bought a car from a dealership. Sure. And
as you do.
When she got the deal, when she was trying to get the title, she couldn't get the title. She was just came to us. We thought this was going to be, like, a very simple case. Just, like, go get the title. The dealership was a scam. They all used fake names. All the way up was a fake name. And it took us forever to find this guy.
Was it a front for something?
I don't even know. Had to actually go to the building and stake out and try to find. Yes.
You're a crime stopper.
For a title. It was insane. It was crazy.
And now they're probably gone, and
they're
not scamming people
gone.
Anymore. So look at that.
They're probably gone. But
we can hope.
It was crazy.
This is a tangent. Sorry. That just made me think about it. There was a restaurant in my, like, town growing up. It got exposed as a front for, like, a Chinese, like, money laundering situation, and it got shut down. It was crazy. It was a whole thing.
If my supervisor attorney would have taken that over, he would have been like, let's move this up a little bit. But
I worked in a law firm last year, and I was a receptionist. it's a crazy environment.
It's pretty crazy.
I kind of have a question, because I also worked in a law firm once. How did it feel, like, when you realize 95% of the job is paperwork and only 5% is in court arguing? Because that's when I determined I didn't want to be a lawyer, because I wanted to be in court arguing, not filing paperwork.
Well, it depends, like, what type of law you do. Like, if you're criminal defense, like, a lot is in court right then. I didn't want to be in court as much because I get so nervous speaking. And also, like, it's so much more intense. Like, I don't know. I just, like, felt like, you know, I cared a lot about my clients. And for a lot of people, it just felt like, okay, it's a job and you're competing and you're trying to beat the other lawyer. And I felt like I couldn't, like, not think about my clients, like, you know, just, like, the idea of them going to jail and stuff like that was, like, literally keeping me up at night. So, yeah, I had to, like, move into a different field. And then, yeah, for most of my career, it's been doing just paperwork, like, in corporate roles and stuff like that. Oh, my gosh, it is very boring, and there's, like, so many deadlines, and it's so intense, like, oh, God.
Yeah, I feel like it would be just, like, constantly eating away at me if I was, like, I'm the only thing standing between this person and prison.
That's how I felt. That's not totally true, but that's how I felt.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's not, I mean, it's not true, but that's, yeah. Like, that's what would be in my head, yeah.
That's how I felt.
Jeez. Yeah, that would kill me.
Wait, so a little bit earlier, Phoebe, you were saying that, sorry to, like, switch this topic a little bit, but
I wanted
to, like, ask you, you said you feel like things happen in your life at, like, the right time. So how has that fit into, like, how you've come to Brand Center? Like, what was your, basically, story? What was your story to get to here?
Oh, thanks. Thanks for asking my story. I mean, I've always been, like, a creative person. It actually kind of bridges in a little bit to what you were saying about, like, your creativity and, like, trying to keep that going at the same time. Always been very creative, but, like, in undergrad, I definitely appreciated my undergrad experience. It was not the type of school, though, that was very creative, very much like a business setting. And when I found out about Brand Center, I thought, you know, if I'm able to get myself here, I can be around people who feel the same way about the niche stuff that I feel about. Because, like, my whole life I've been, like, pointing out ads to people, talking about, and they're like, what are you, nobody cares. Like, nobody's listening. And I'm like, why do they use that word placement? Look at that. Like, the images here are really interesting. Nobody cared. So I was like, if I could get somewhere where people were passionate, not just about the same topic, but in the same way, because I felt like in undergrad I was doing a lot of the work for other people that were just there for their parents or something. So my journey here pretty much was just, I mean, I'm 23, so I just graduated in May. And I applied last year to Brand Center pretty early because I heard about it and I knew that if I came, I would surround myself with the right type of crowd. And my family this whole time has been very supportive. My dad especially has been pushing me to be creative. He's always like, and it hurts to hear sometimes when you realize you've gotten out of touch with something that you were so in touch with when you were younger. But I used to have, like, there's a box in my shed that's, like, huge of, like, books, drawings, little, like, because I was an only child too, shout out only children, we're a different breed, where, like, I would write notes to myself, I would write books to myself, and I just was, like, always thinking about creativity. Came to college, kind of 4 years of just, you know, and my high school was very competitive too, so I think honestly it was 8 years of being out of touch with my creativity, because in a lot of industries they want you to be productive, they want you to get the grade, get the salary, not tune into your creativity. And so Brand Center was the choice for me because I was like, this is a way for me to make, like, a name for myself, get out there in a creative field, which is, like, best of both worlds. So I'm definitely having a difficult time getting back into it because once you're detached from that for so long, but it's I don't know, it's a push. But yeah, that's pretty much my thing.
I had, like, such a different journey because when I was in high school, I didn't know what the fuck I wanted to do. So I kind of just looked up to what my dad was doing. And he's a patent attorney. So he kind of does, he's, like, also a lawyer, but he works with, like, people getting patents and, like, getting inventions, you know, getting the rights
that's
to their inventions. I don't know how
that's
fun it
paperwork,
could be.
But, that's
he told me, I was like, you know what? I might as well just follow in his footsteps because I didn't know what to do. So he was like, okay, go get, like, either a degree in, like, mechanical engineering or, like, civil engineering, something like that. So I ended up going to San Diego State University my freshman year. I was doing mechanical engineering. And meanwhile, this is 2020, so this is, like, right when COVID starts. So there was no in-person classes, no clubs, no gym, basically nothing to do. And on top of that, I was hating my classes. I was in, like, calculus, biology, chemistry, philosophy in one term, and it was just like killing me. Like literally, I was like deteriorating every single day, and I was getting super depressed, and it just wasn't working. So I kind of reevaluated things. I talked with my parents, and I just kind of, for about a week, I just kind of thought, like, what do I actually want to do? And I kind of, I remember in high school, I was really into fashion and, you know, thinking about like designing clothing and stuff. So I thought maybe I'll go into graphic design. That could be cool, like a cool creative outlet. So I went back home after one semester at San Diego State. I went back home to Virginia, and I went to Northern Virginia Community College and ended up staying there for 1.5 years until I got my associate's degree. And I just did like a general science degree. Like it wasn't anything like too specific. And then I figured I would go to, I wanted to go back to the West Coast, but I wanted to stay out of California. So I went to University of Oregon, and I went there for advertising because I figured they didn't have a graphic design program, but they had, I knew they did a lot of design in their advertising program. Yeah. So I figured I would go there to advertising and do some design stuff. And then I ended up really enjoying the copywriting aspect of advertising, like really randomly, something I never would have thought of. Because in high school and like all my years, like K through 12, I hated writing. I was so bad at English and I just hated it. But for something about writing fiction just felt right. And I was a psychology minor when I started there, and then I immediately switched it to creative writing. And I liked those classes more than I liked my advertising classes. But as I said earlier, it's kind of hard to break into the industry of writing. It's a very small industry, very exclusive. So after that, I switched to advertising my junior year. So I only had 2 years of undergrad doing advertising, and I was really scared with the prospect of trying to go to an agency out of 2 years of doing advertising. So I talked to one of my professors, and I was like, what are some good master's programs that I could get for advertising? And she was like, there's two schools that are good, VCU Brand Center and Miami Ad School. And I was like, no way, VCU Brand Center, like, I'm from Virginia. Mm-hmm. So it kind of felt perfect, like the stars aligned right there. And I applied to it, but I was really self-doubting. I didn't think I was going to get into this school. So I kind of was like, I had my mind set on trying to get a job. And then randomly I got the acceptance letter. And I remember like I was in the bathroom like about to take a shower, and I saw the email and I opened it, and I was like shitting my pants, like about to open this email, and I see the top of it, and it was like, congratulations. Yeah, and I literally started crying.
The confetti came out.
The confetti.
That was mine too. I, like, the message didn't load for me, but I always saw it was confetti, and I was like, well, I guess I got it in. Oh my God.
I was so happy, and, you know, I was, like, really stressing out about getting a job, and obviously coming here, like, all the work is stressful, but I feel like that kind of comes with advertising, you know, in general. It's a stressful environment, but it's supposed to be stressful, so... I feel like I came here at the right time in my life. It was like perfectly, and it wasn't planned. It kind of just felt like it came out of the blue, but it was just like the right time for me.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys something. Like, I feel like we're all kind of talking about how like we're at the right place now. Like, something that I would tell my younger self now is like, take time and, you know, like don't rush it, because when it feels right, it will feel right. Like, I heard that when I was, like, going through this process, but I just didn't believe it. I was just like, whatever. Some people find what's right for them. Some people don't. But now I, like, wish I could say, like, slow down, because when it's right, you can feel it, and, like, you won't doubt it. Like, did you guys feel that?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I've always been that type of person where I feel like I don't really stress out too much about life. I kind of feel like things happen for a reason. Mm-hmm. And obviously my mom feels different, because she was, like, on my ass about getting a job, and like always calling me and being like, are you applying to jobs? Are you applying to internships? And I was like, no, like, I'm sorry. Like, I probably should be, but, you know, I'm here and it all worked out. So mm-hmm. I definitely feel like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm still trying to figure out, you know, what it is. I think I'm a pretty like anxious person usually. So I don't know. I kind of got here and like, with the workload, I was immediately like, should I have taken more time off of school? You know, should I have like taken another year to like focus on like trying to do more touring? with the bands or...
Yeah, how's the world tour going?
I love that you're touring.
World tour?
Yeah.
It's, I don't know if it's a world tour, but there's been some East Coast tours. We did a few this year so far, and we're going to try and do another, like, the old up-down, as they call it, in the biz, up and down the East Coast over the summer. Probably do a little weekend out of town here and there. But I don't know. I mean, like, it's definitely difficult, like, being in, like, I love it here. But it's also just, like, am I making the right decision? I think I am. But, like, I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of never a person that's ever, like, this feels so right. And, like, I've totally made the right decision. I feel like I'm always going to second guess myself. And I think that's my own thing, and I just need to get over it.
I've never had a second of chill in my life ever. I'm, like, so not a chill person.
Me either.
I'm genuinely so high-strung. It's something that I've had to unlearn, but it's been, like, a driving force for me to be motivated because, like, when you're anxious about every single thing, you're on top of your shit. Like, that's one bonus of it is you're on top of it. But definitely if you, like, function at such a high level of anxiety for your entire life, you're going to have some serious problems with it, some serious, like, consequences from that. And so I've definitely had to take a bit of a step back, but my, like, mantra of everything's happening at the right time was more so born out of just anxiety. I was like, if I don't tell myself this, I'm going to spin out and think that everything, like, I have to just go, you know what, it's happening at the right time for the right reason. And it's been a really good mantra to live by, but it was definitely not just, like, some epiphany I had. It was, like, girl, if you keep stressing about everything, like, you're gonna burn out.
It's, like, more just, like, something you need to tell yourself.
I have to tell myself that. Every morning when I wake up, I have to tell myself, you're on the right path. Because if you let that inner monologue that's, like, self-doubt, negativity control you, like, you are not going to succeed at anything.
That's real.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of want to go off of that, Phoebe, about the mantra. I think mine personally lately has been life is happening for me, not to me. As someone who's, like, typically very pessimistic, I've been trying to, like, look at the glass half full as opposed to half empty. It's been an adjustment, but I do think I've been happier. I did, like, a little journal assignment for one of my classes, and I wrote, like, a letter to my future self. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's life is so happening cute. For me, that. Not yeah, to me. Cool.
Didn't Jim Carrey say that? Who said that?
I have no idea.
I think it was Jim Carrey. He's awesome, though. But I also have, like, struggled with overthinking things and, like, just worrying about things that I can't control. And one thing that I've learned that really helps me is, like, mindfulness meditation. And to this day, I still meditate every single day. I try to do it twice a day, like, once in the morning, once at night, but sometimes it's just once a day. But I used to have, like, that constant inner monologue in my head, and it's just not healthy. I mean, it does make you get your shit done because it's kind of like a nagging voice, but I've found that with a clear head, you can kind of still get the motivation to be on top of your shit, even if you don't have that voice on top of you. And then, in addition to that, you don't have all the extra stresses that come with that voice.
Does doom scrolling count as meditation?
Doom scrolling is the opposite of meditation. I would say that because I used to doom scroll, and that just fuels it. I feel like that fuels it.
It totally fuels it.
How do you meditate?
Mm-hmm.
How specifically do you go about it?
I do mindfulness. Yeah. So, like, either I'll watch a YouTube. I have this YouTube channel that I like to watch. They do, like, 10-minute meditations, and it's really calm, and it's guided because it's kind of hard to keep yourself, like, mindful in a mindful state, and, like, when there's a person talking to you and, like, keeping you on track, it's easy to, you know, focus on, like, just, like, being in the moment completely, because that's what mindfulness is. It's focusing on your body in the natural world, like, your five senses in the moment, rather than, like, living in your head. So normally I'll do, like, a guided meditation, or if it's, like, a day where I feel like I'm super focused, I can just set, like, a 10-minute timer and just sit there, close my eyes, start breathing, and just, like, focus on my body.
Yeah.
It's really nice. It's really healthy. I feel like it's something super natural, because when I think about living in the natural world, we're, like, one of the only animals. I mean, obviously, I don't know this for a fact, but I feel like we're one of the only animals that overthink things. Like, when you think about animals living in the wild, they're focused on, like, their surroundings and, like, how they're perceiving the world and, like, trying to get food, trying to get water. They're not thinking about, oh, I was so stupid when I said that yesterday. Mm-hmm. Or, like, oh, I have all this shit I need to do. No, they're just thinking about right now. And I feel like that's just so important to just focus on what's right now instead of what has happened and what might happen.
Yeah. When I was playing high school lacrosse, we used to have this yoga teacher come in for like a day a week or something like that. And like at the end of the yoga class, she used to like kind of do this like guided meditation thing. I don't really know. I don't think she called it meditation or whatever, but it was so nice. Like, it was like almost being in like a sleep-like state, but like you're like kind of aware. And I guess like that's, I don't know if I was meditating or if that's just like the closest I've ever come to like that sort of situation.
It's definitely meditating.
But dude, it rocked. And she was great at it too. Like, she would like talk you through it and you're just like, damn, like this is great.
She must have been good. She was very good at it. High school boys meditating, like, she's good.
No, she was, it was a miracle that like, but like all of us like really bought into it. And I think like that's part of it too, is like really buying in.
Yeah, I feel like definitely with meditating, it's something where you don't have to try to do it. As long as you're like, I don't know, as long as you're,
I think as long as you open yourself up to it.
Yeah, yeah. That's all you really need to do.
Yeah. Maybe that's the problem. I try too hard when I do it.
You shouldn't be trying at all. I feel like
I'm like trying to focus and not let all my thoughts just go insane and not get bored and not, I don't know.
Getting bored is definitely something that I feel like happens a lot when you meditate, and it's hard at first, but I think meditation is definitely a skill that you get better at, and I like controlling that. Your thoughts you get better at, and being mindful you get better at the more you do it. One of the other reasons I like to do it a lot is because it helps with my concentration. I feel like especially nowadays with social media and like doom scrolling and all these platforms that have like these rapid succession content, it like trains our brains to become super, like, you need a lot of stimulation at once, and then doing something which is the complete opposite, which is being mindful, your brain gets bored automatically, and it's hard to just like sit there and do nothing because there's no stimulation there. But I think that's the point of it, is that there is no stimulation, and that's kind of like the bar that needs to be like set in our brains, rather than the bar being set like, you know, scrolling on Reels or like on TikTok.
Yeah.
Well, do you guys think that you guys have like imposter syndrome? Like, when we did our survey, over 50% of them who were 18 to 34 said they experienced imposter syndrome occasionally or sometimes. So like, obviously a lot of people are going through it. I feel like I have it a little bit, like sometimes. I don't know, I'm just having so much fun being here, honestly, and I didn't think that I would be here, that I just don't care. Like, yeah. I'm fine with everyone being better than me. Like, that makes me, like, happy I'm here. Because, like, if I was, like, good here, I feel like then I would be like, okay, I need to go someplace else. Yeah. That's going to push me. So the fact that I feel, like, at the bottom of the totem pole, like, makes me feel like I'm at the right place.
I definitely experience it sometimes here. A few weeks ago, I turned in an assignment. Joseph knows about it. I was standing in front of the classroom for 90 minutes while our professor tore it apart. So I definitely went home.
No, she didn't tear it apart.
Well, she was like trying to improve it.
She used
it
as an example.
It was kind of awkward standing up there for 90 minutes.
She didn't tear it apart. She used it as an example.
The whole time.
Yeah.
Were you just the first person to go?
Yeah.
That's,
so she definitely used it as an example. But like, I definitely left like, wow, how the fuck did I get into this program? But then last week, I went up, and we only took 10 minutes, and she really liked my tagline. So I do think it was a learning experience. It sucked to be the example, a little guinea pig she let loose in the room. But, like I said, it was a learning experience, and I definitely improved my work. So I don't have imposter syndrome now, but I'm sure I'll probably feel it eventually.
Yeah, I think the first thing I said, like, off the top of the pod is that I feel like a fraud every single day. So I think it would make sense that maybe I'm feeling that a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think I'm necessarily, like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm not, I don't know if I think I'm necessarily, like, worse at this than a lot of the other people here. I think that I got here and I was expecting to, like, really feel, like, the passion and the drive for advertising, and it's just, like, not quite something I've really felt yet, like, the same way I feel about, you know, other things in my life. And, I don't know if you guys like just like really feel a passion for advertising, but I really love it. But I don't know, I just, like, haven't quite felt that drive yet, and I feel like maybe other people have. So that's been, like, something I've felt, like, a little bit of a fraud about. But, you know, I really love it, and I want to keep doing it, and I think it's great. But I think also just, like, the more I feel confident in myself and my ability and stuff, like, I'll feel, like, a lot better about stuff, you know?
I feel like I have two states that I'm constantly in. The first one is just, like, the anxiety imposter syndrome state where I feel like I'm not as smart or I shouldn't be here. I didn't do anything artistic in undergrad. And being around some of these people with their portfolios and their logos and their writing and their comic books, and it's like, wow, like, I could have been doing that. I could have been honing into that in undergrad. Mm-hmm. I am more on the business side of Brand Center, which I've felt personally more prepared for since that's more what I did in undergrad. But even within that, my school didn't really have a marketing program. And so when people are talking about creative briefs, like, I had to learn how to do that, where some people came in already knowing. So I feel like in times like that, I'm feeling the imposter syndrome. I have this other state, which is like, I'm a Leo. The Leo energy takes over sometimes, and I'm like, I am obviously here. Of course I'm here. Look at me. Like, duh. And so sometimes that takes over. Never really know when one or the other is going to step in. So it's kind of back and forth for me, and I feel like it's like that for a lot of people. You have these moments where you're like, I'm the best. I've got this. I got it. Look at me. I'm great. I'm here. Then you have other moments where you're like, why am I here? What am I doing? But I think that, like, self-doubt is the number one, like, drain for your success. Like, if you were self-doubting, if you were thinking for even a second that you're not meant to be blank, like, I'm not meant to be here, I'm not meant to do this, like, that's gonna spiral you.
Yeah.
So it's like letting go of that is really difficult. But
one thing that I've noticed about imposter syndrome is that we all kind of realize that we have these moments of self-doubt, but it's so hard to, like, squander it, or not squander it, like, squash it, you know, like, because we're here for a reason, like, we got accepted to this school, we got our work evaluated by people who are, you know, trained in advertising, they know that we have the capabilities to do this, and somehow, like, that's not enough for us, we still feel self-doubt, and one thing I've noticed specifically is when I was in undergrad, it seemed kind of like the environment was people thought they knew so much about advertising and they were so confident with it. And I felt that too. And then coming here, I feel like a dumbass. And I feel like a lot of other people are like, what the fuck even is advertising? Like, I don't get this at all. Mm-hmm. But I kind of feel like our professors are, they know that and they're willing to push us in the right direction. And it kind of feels like a boot camp in a way where they've dealt with class upon class of people. They know what the bar is, and they know how to get us to the top. So whether or not we have that imposter syndrome, I feel like as long as we're pushing forward constantly while we're here, it'll work out in the end.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, we always say self-doubt. Everyone says, like, I have self-doubt. I'm doubting myself. Everyone says it, but, like, what do you mean? Like, what are you guys doubting? Like, I feel like before I came here, I was doubting, like, if I could be creative enough, like, if I was going to be able to keep up with, like, the workload, like, between school and work. And now I feel like when I'm doubting myself, I'm doubting, you know, if I'm as good with working with people as I thought. Am I, like, coming off a bit differently than I thought, which I would have never, but I didn't think I would question that before. So, like, what are you guys doubting? I feel like we all might be doubting different things.
I definitely doubt my ability to write.
Me too.
Yeah, you probably feel that too, Samantha, with copywriting, especially being in Holly's class. She's really good at what she does, and I'm sitting there sometimes when she's, like, going through the process, and I'm like, how the fuck is she doing this? Like, how is she coming up with these ways of thinking about things and, you know, putting these ideas into words? Sometimes I'll sit with an idea for so long, and I'm like, I don't know how to make these, like, words on the page that are not just cringe. So I doubt my writing abilities on the daily.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, talking about Holly, her brain is, like, fucking fantastic. You can give her a prompt, and in 2 seconds, she'll have a tagline, a headline, long copy, all of it. You give me a brand, I need at least 3 business days to even think of one tagline. But, yeah, Holly's brain is fucking amazing. So if you guys ever have a class with her, You're going to have so much fucking fun.
I don't think they will, though, because it's copywriting.
I think they take Fusion with her next semester. Oh, okay. I don't know about Phoebe, but I think Strategy is in Fusion with us in the ADs.
Mm, okay.
I feel like I'm doubting if I'm doing enough or, like, doing the right amount, which is weird because I'm obviously working a lot. We saw, like, this cool graph in, like, Kevin's class about, like, putting together a campaign or a project. And it was, like, two triangles. Mm-hmm. The first half is going to be, like, the business and the strat people because it's conceptual at this point. And it's, like, business plan, marketing plan. Who's the consumer audience? What are we trying to achieve? But the execution, just plain and simple, the business people like myself are not trained to really pull and, like, come together with some of these ideas. Like, we're not trained in the software and, like, don't get into the nitty-gritty of it. Obviously, they're creative business people, just like they're businessy creative people. But it's like there's comes a time in these group projects where you essentially, like, pass over the baton to the creatives and you kind of have to let them run because you can't be like, oh, well, I didn't think it was like this. It needs to be like this. Like, you got to let them do their thing, just like they let you do yours. But I'm questioning a lot. I'm like, am I doing enough? Am I contributing enough? Because a lot of what we do is, like, research. And research isn't as flashy and fun as, like, here's the graphic I made, and here's the book I wrote, and here's the person I just created for us. So I'm struggling with, like, I feel like not doing enough, and I feel like, oh, my gosh, I should be contributing more. But also, you don't want to be, like, stepping on people when they need to, like, let them do their thing. Just, like, we wouldn't want them to be stepping on us when we're trying to do our research and stuff. So it's, like, letting everybody do their role, but also coming together in that leadership component, because it will kind of feel like at times, especially for the business people, like, on the back half, that you're just sitting around. You're just like, oh, great project, guys. Like, high five. I'm trying to stay involved and make sure I don't, like, come across as a slacker or something while still doing, like, the research I'm supposed to do, if that makes sense. That's, like, what I'm struggling with.
I feel the same way.
Yeah, I definitely feel like I'm better. You know, this is, like, bad, but I'm better when I work alone. And definitely working with a team is something that I'm getting used to. And especially going into the ad agency industry, I know that that's all you do is working with teams. There's no solo work, unless you're, like, working, you know, freelance or something like that. But for the majority of the part, you're working with a team. And, you know, there's like, the tropes of the person who's not doing any work or the person who's never shows up to the meetings. You know, there's always some obstacles working with a team, and I think that, you know, just doing that more often here is we're going to get better at that. Mm-hmm. But it's scary sometimes, like, trying to figure out how much work you should do and, like, you know, when to step up if nobody's stepping up, all these different things, all these different challenges that it comes with working in a team.
Like, don't pigeonhole yourself, I guess, into your role, because just because you're a copywriter or an art director or whatever, if it's going, like, off completely what the target was, if you're afraid to be, like, correcting the person, which is not even really correcting, but same as if there was a visual that was presented and I was like, this doesn't really align with our brand at all, it's better to speak up, like, on both sides than go, well, I'm just the CDM, so I can't really speak to that. It's like, you have ideas, too. Everybody's here because they're creative. Just because I might be more businessy and you might be more hands-on doesn't mean we can't both communicate, like, oh, hey, I think this is getting off track of, like, what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but the thing with working with a team is, you know, the work is going to be so much better, and you can, like, relish in that. Like, that's the thing that gets me through, because I've definitely been struggling in that aspect, but I know that the work's going to be 10 times better than what I could do by myself, so I just have to, like, give in to the process. But I want to talk about Jack, like, you know, your passion. Like, I feel like I don't feel passionate about strategy on day to day. I don't go to, like, class and say, like, I can't wait for class. I don't even know what you would say about that. Yeah. I complain every single day, but I think I know my passion because when I'm out of class, I'm thinking about it. Like, I'm thinking about ideas, and, like, when I think about ideas, I get excited. I get excited to talk to you guys about them. That's, like, honestly kind of the only times I feel that passion. But doing the work, no. Going to class, no. Anything else regarding work and class, no. Don't feel it. So, like, what are you saying when you don't, when you're saying you don't feel the passion?
I don't know. I mean, I think that it's probably just because I have another thing that I'm passionate about, and I'm, like, comparing it a little bit. That makes sense. I think that's probably just not, you know, in my best interest, really. All
right, so it's time to drop music.
Yeah.
It's time to drop music. I dropped a single 2 days ago. Oh. You were in the car when we listened to it.
It was a good song, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
He's a good singer.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess so.
No, like, I want to come to your his show. His band's performance was, like, really fucking good last night. Like, I will say that. Like, I'm usually the kind of person that I listen more to, like, hip-hop and R&B. Mm-hmm. I'm not really too much into the genre that you guys perform, but it was, like, really fucking good. Like, I was bopping my head all night.
Oh, thank you.
I want to come to a show.
Yeah, soon. Yeah, we got a few in October, so. Oh, when are these coming out? I don't know if.
Well, hopefully I would have been to a show when this comes out.
By then, yeah. But yeah, I don't know. We did a little survey about imposter syndrome, right?
Yeah, I said most people said they experience it occasionally or sometimes. So it's a little bit. It's not never. Maybe people don't experience it always, but it's not. It's common.
It's common.
Yeah.
It's good.
Sometimes I wonder if imposter syndrome is even real. Mm. And by real, I mean like something that could be defined with a single definition, because I feel like everyone kind of has it to some degree, and that might be a generalization, but
yeah, I don't even know if like that's like the imposter syndrome term is like something I really like for that feeling at the end of the day. Like,
yeah, if anything, it's more of like a, it's not like a syndrome, you know, it kind of feels like just like an emotion, because it's backed by, you know, self-doubt and like comparing yourself to other people in the world, and everyone does that. Like, everyone compares themselves to what they see. So I don't know, I feel like it shouldn't have the label of a syndrome, you know, because that kind of has a negative connotation.
Yeah, I don't really know what a syndrome is.
At the end of what is a syndrome?
I don't know.
I feel like it's a next level than self-doubt, because you know, you're speaking to the idea that you might be found out. Like, you're an imposter. Like, you definitely should not, like, you feel fraudulent being here. Self-doubt, I feel like, is kind of like, I gotta step my game up a little bit, I think. But imposter syndrome is like, I feel like, I don't know. I'm like, definitely should not be in here.
I mean, do you go home and feel like you shouldn't be here?
Not now, but when I was in law, I felt that every day.
Okay.
And I felt like it was very intense. Like, I felt I should not be there, and I should have listened to it.
So do you think that imposter syndrome is like a good thing, because it could lead you to other things in your life?
I think in my case, sometimes like you have to listen to yourself, like, and you know, have compassion for yourself and be open to, like, you know, maybe things aren't what you thought. But I think for some people, they do belong here, but they're just so in their head. I feel like that's why we don't think it's like a real thing. It's like everyone's in their head all the time, especially like our generation. Like, we're always in our head. We're always questioning things. We're always anxious. So, you know, should we be harping on it? Should we be labeling it as something when it's just like kind of like how we are? We're always anxious. You know, I think there is a difference.
Social media doesn't help at all.
It doesn't help at all.
Because I'm on TikTok all the time. People are like, I'm a millionaire at 25, and here's how I got here. First of all, no, you're not. No, you're not.
First of all, my parents gave me all my money.
Let's mention that. Let's mention the background of mom and dad. Like, I'm juggling a job that's not very feasible to do with school. Arguably, I shouldn't be doing it. If anyone were to examine my life from a bird's eye view, they'd be like, girl, drop that job. Like, what are you doing? Because I can't, it's difficult to juggle both. I feel like in a program like this, a work study or like an on-campus job is your best bet, because they work with you. They let you, you know, but like my job is standalone. They have expectations of me. I'm not going to be able to write a creative brief while I'm making someone's smoothie. It's just not going to happen. Like, that's not going to work. And so I actually really appreciate that I have my job at the same time, because it's able, like, I'm able to kind of like really push myself. And also, I need to make money. So when I see those videos and people are like, oh, I'm a millionaire. God, like, they're just, it
why
makes
is
you feel
everyone
so bad
a millionaire? Well, why is like everyone going to Japan every 2 months too?
Really? Are people going to Japan?
I don't know. That's all I'm seeing is Japan.
Everyone I know from high school is in Europe all the time. I'm wondering how that happened.
I've been seeing Croatia on the comments. Like, I feel like everyone's going to Croatia this summer, and I'm like, that kind of rocks. Like, I don't really know what's going on there, but there's something in the water, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
That's another thing about social media, too, though, is, like, because I see that, too. Like, I see all these people that I know, you know, posting pictures in Italy and, like, France and like all these countries, and I'm like, that's only what you're only seeing what they want you to see, you know? So with social media, like specifically, that's not who the person is. And I bet you if you would talk to those people that you see, you know, posting these glamorous lifestyles, if you would talk to them in real life, they're just as regular as you are. And I don't know how they're getting those trips to Europe, like, because I'm definitely not having enough money to go to Europe right now. But that's another thing about social media is, like, comparing yourself to those people. It's, you shouldn't be, because that's not who they are in real life.
Yeah, I think it's kind of funny when, like, I think you were talking about, like, TikTok influencers that are like, oh, yeah, like, I'm 25 and I have, I'm a billionaire. And then you, like, kind of look into their stuff and it's like, they're trying to sell you, like, a crypto scam.
Oh, my gosh.
If you follow these three simple steps, you will be able. I was at the doctor's office a few months back, and someone tried to rope me into a self-help pyramid scheme.
Oh, my gosh. Nice.
No.
Anyone here ever been in a pyramid scheme?
No.
It's okay. And it was just, I don't know. I feel like social media is just so fake, and all these pyramid schemes, like, that's what they are. With people who are posting like that, because anyone who genuinely wants the best for you is not going to come out with a dollar figure first. That's the truth. No one's going to face you who has your best interest at heart and go, well, I make this. How does a conversation work like that starts like that? No, like, the people who are actually going to help you in your life, like, aren't going to be trying to get you to invest in their
cryptocurrency. Has anybody else in the last few years been hit up by, like, a high school classmate and been like, hey, so like, I have a business opportunity for you, and it's like a pyramid scheme, like in the DMs.
Yeah, that's rough.
Multiple times.
I love that. It is. I love it so much. It happened to me one time, and I talked about it with my friends for weeks. I love it.
I wish it was someone, like, I wish it was, like, your bully in high school that does it. It's like someone I don't even know at all and didn't even know then will hit me up all of a sudden. I wish it was, like,
hey girl,
I don't
know.
It's
been a while.
Yeah. We've never spoken.
Never had a class.
What happened here?
Uh-oh.
Updates available.
You know what? It's because they realized we're brokies. So we don't need to see the stocks.
Okay.
We're actually reaching. We don't need the stocks.
We're almost at an hour, so we should say, like, we're at, like, 55. So let's, say any final remarks before we end this.
Let's just say our tips.
So,
yeah. One thing you would say to someone
say
in your
to the world.
Get in there with the tips.
What do you need to hear?
World, you'll figure it out. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You'll figure it out.
I mean, the research I said was, like, the research that I read was saying that, like, self-doubt, that's one of the top deterrents of success, and that grounding yourself, I think meditation can help, grounding yourself and surrounding yourself with people who have your best interest at heart. I think those were two of them. But saying that those two things, it's really about, like, making your environment ready for success, because if your environment's not ready for success, you're not going to be ready for success. And basically just, like, letting yourself fall into place, in a sense, which is very difficult when you have anxiety like me. But there is a certain aspect of, like, you cannot micromanage every aspect of your life. It's not going to go the way you want it to.
Yeah.
I would say my tip would be to buy my online course. No, but for real, though.
With these 20 steps, you can be
a billionaire
like me.
Just two payments of $39. Definitely
take my $1,000 masterclass.
In our world, though, especially nowadays, there's so much stimuli, and there's only so much focus that you can, focus on. There's only so much amount of attention that you can give to something. So, you know, don't focus on the things that you can't control, first and foremost. Try some mindfulness meditation. That it might be boring as fuck, but if it's boring as fuck, maybe that means you need to keep doing it. I'll just say that. Do some meditation. Drink some water.
Drink some water.
Drink some.
Hey, if you're out there, go drink some water. What are you doing? Sitting there all thirsty. Go drink some water. Get hydrated. You'll feel better.
When I think, like, about my journey and what I would say to myself, even what I say to myself now is, like, just accept things for what they are. Like, don't even try to change it because, you know, sometimes you just gotta, like, go with the flow. Like, I hate how everyone's like, don't compare yourself. Like, you're gonna compare yourself. Like, let's just be real. You're gonna compare yourself. But when you do, just accept it. Just say, accept it for what it is. If they're better than you, they're better than you. Don't even take it personally. Whatever. If you wish something was different in your life and you can't change it right now, okay, you can't change it right now. Just, like, give yourself grace. Like, it's okay. It's not as big of a deal as you think it is, and it's not going to be perfect, and you're not going to be perfect, but you're great. Like, really, you're, like, not a murderer. You're not, like, doing anything wrong.
As far as you know.
Yeah. Far, yeah. Like, you're good. You're fine.
Speak for yourself.
She's a lawyer. She'll get you. Yeah. You are a murderer.
I think for me it would be, like, get rid of expectations from society, from your family, and for yourself, and, like, just pursue something you're passionate about, because if you don't, you might regret it in the long run. I know I regretted it personally, and, like, just celebrating your successes, because, like, when I was mentioning earlier, I felt like I'm not a good writer, but I got here for a reason, right?
Yes.
So I have to be a good writer. I can be better. That's why I'm here.
Exactly.
If I had a real tip that wasn't just, like, hey, you'll figure it out, I would say just even, like, during this podcast when I've been, like, saying stuff out loud and, like, kind of being, like, a step, like, feeling like a step back from it, like, with the imposter syndrome stuff, like, in my head, it all feels so real, but then when I'm, like, talking about it or, like, I'm, like, a little bit removed from it, I'm, like, it sounds really ridiculous and, like, doesn't seem, like, now that I'm saying, I'm, like, oh, like, why am I worried about this kind of thing? So, I don't know, like, I think just try to take a step back, try to, like, talk about it with somebody, whether that's, like, your friends or, like, your parents or, like, a therapist or something like that. Like, I think talking about it is just, like, just makes it easier. It makes it a lot less scary. Because, like, when it's all in your head, like, you know, I know for me, there's not a lot of room up there. So, like, it gets kind of frightening. But now, like, that it's, like, out in the open and stuff like that, I'm like, it's really not that big of a thing. And, you know, just take a little bit of distance from it and step back. Maybe it would be my advice to people.
That's so true.
And I wanted to say one last thing to what you were saying, Ivana, about when there's things in your life that you can't control, if you spend your time thinking about those things, it's kind of pointless, because if you already can't control it and you're giving attention to it, there's no end point to that. So maybe just try to not think about those things. And that's easier said than done, obviously, but really, like, you're wasting your time and you're wasting the moments that you do have when you're thinking about things you can't control.
Definitely.
There you go. All right. Well, this was the Almost Functional podcast. Did we do a podcast?
I think we did a podcast.
Function.
I think
we did.
We functioned almost.
Let us know in the comments if we did that podcast. What should they comment?
Comment
your favorite color. Yes.
Comment your second favorite color.
Comment your scratch that. Comment your second favorite color, and you know, just let me know. Because that's really important. I'm making a chart. All right. Goodbye, everybody.
All right, thank
Bye.
You.
Thank you.